Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you. So send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. And remember, this is the third week in Advent. You might be very busy. You can't stop and watch television. You might say, I need to listen to this show. Go out to EWTN Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio/podcast or wherever you happen to listen to your podcasts. I like listening to podcasts. So today we're going to be welcoming back Father Mark Thibodeau. Now, Father Mark was born in rural Southwest Louisiana in a Cajun family. He entered the Jesuits 37 years ago and has since been a Catholic high school teacher, a novice director, and an author of 8 books on prayer and spirituality. And currently he serves as pastor to the Holy Name of Jesus Church in New Orleans, Louisiana. And today he's going to be here to joining us to speak about his newest book, Hope and Light for Advent. And it's a beautiful guided reflection to share how God is calling us to create space for the coming of Christ. Here you are in your third week. It's never too late. You have some time to create space for Jesus. And we hope you take advantage of that.
Well, I want to read just real quick his afterword. And this is his prayer. Jesus, God incarnate, I rejoice in anticipation of the abundant grace of your coming. May I search for your coming among the small, the weak, the outcast. But may I also search for your newborn presence within my own spiritual womb. I empty myself in order to create a space for you to be born within me. Like Mary, I say, fiat, let it be, that I too may bear your presence to the world. May your coming as a vulnerable baby bring peace between the lion and the lamb beginning within me. May your light dispel my darkness and hopelessness and the world's too. Fiat, may it be done. Again, we'll hear more about this book. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today again is Father Mark Thibodeau. He's the author of a beautiful book called Hope and Light for Advent. And to learn more about his work, you can go out to his website. It's hnjchurch.org or jesuits.org. Well, Father Mark, we so enjoyed having you yesterday. And for the people who didn't catch the show yesterday, give a brief recap about the book, and then we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about it.
Well, thank you for having me back. Hope and Light for Advent is a child of my love for this season. It might be my favorite season of the liturgical calendar, because it's all about all of us waiting in the dark for the light to come. But we wait not in fear, as we often are in the dark, but we wait in great joyful anticipation. So the book is all a set of reflections to help us to prepare our hearts, to create a space for us to allow Jesus to come and be born in our world today.
Mm-hmm. We so enjoyed the book. Sorry that I cut you off.
No, in the book you did talk about, which I think is so important, you talked about an experiment that was done in the 60s about learned hopelessness. And during this season, people can get hopeless. People can fall into despair and be discouraged. And yet the church takes us through this Advent season almost to reset us, right? Because it is the new year, and it's saying, this is how we're going to do this, with hope and joy and peace and love, and we are going to encounter the King. and your life should be forever changed. Yes. But tell our family about learned hopelessness and what that is.
Sure. So in the 60s, they did experiments with dogs where they had a sort of a four square. They had four panels that the dog could choose whichever panel he wanted to stand or sit on. And they were able to produce a slight shock that would be just a tiny bit of pain, but not much on the dog. And they could train the dog to stand in different patterns, to jump here, jump there. But they did an experiment where they shocked all four panels so that no matter where the dog went, he encountered pain. Yeah. And it wasn't very long before the dog simply lay down. He just lay down and moaned. And the psychologists call this learned hopelessness or learned helplessness. It means that this creature, in this case a dog, learns that there's no hope. Mm-hmm. And so you just lay down. You just lay down and don't even try anymore. And psychologists tell us, and we know this from experience, that we can learn hopelessness as well, can't we? Mm-hmm. That if we get too many shocks, if we try too many panels, we try to jump from here to there, and every single one of them leads to pain, then we learn hopelessness as well. And so I think Christmas, it should be a time when we bring a hope, or when we receive hope. But as you said, for a lot of people, Christmas is sort of a depressing time. And so I think if we come back to Christ and really reflect on the scriptures and on the incarnation, then the Lord will restore that hope for us.
Yeah. Well, after that illustration or reality of learned hopelessness, that's pretty scary.
Yes.
And you're saying that some of us really understand that too well, because it just seems like everywhere we step, it's just kind of blowing up.
Yes.
And I'm sure we got a lot of people out here that feel like, yeah, I'm that dog laid over on the side,
moaning.
Okay.
Yes.
So I want you to unpack more fully, you know, where's the good news, where's the hope,
yes,
and how does that fit with a little baby? We know God with skin, God made, poor God with a face, he came. But how does that baby and his coming relate to those who have learned hopelessness?
Yes, right. So hope, I like to distinguish between hope and optimism. Optimism says everything's going to be okay. Hope says we know well that everything's not going to be okay this side of heaven, but that we're going to be okay. You and I are going to be okay. Why? Because we have a Savior, and the Savior's coming. And so hope is not about everything's going to be just fine. Hope is about our Savior's going to come and rescue us. So that's what distinguishes hope from optimism. And I believe hope actually takes work. We have to work at hope, because there's so many forces in the world, ultimately from what St. Ignatius would call the evil spirit, so many forces at work to take away our hope, huh? To steal us of our hope. So we have to work. We have to work at keeping that hope up.
Yeah.
Huh? There's a Catholic organization called Hope Works in New Jersey, actually, that says that hope is sweaty, that we have to break a sweat when we work at keeping, retaining that hope that the Lord wants us to have.
Yeah. And it really is true, because as in every gift and fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's intentional. We have to train our mind. Yeah. Otherwise, we get bombarded with self-talk and negative thoughts, and we could become morose in a nanosecond. And, you know, and it's like, wait a minute. And it is different than optimism, because I am an optimistic person,
you
but
are.
I'm a more hopeful person.
Yes.
Because hope, I know that Jesus is with me in the midst of the storm.
Yes.
I could be optimistic and go, oh, the storm isn't happening. Well, yeah, the storm is happening.
Yes.
And Jesus is saying, float in the midst of this storm. I got you.
And we have to unlearn that hopelessness, don't we? We've learned hopelessness. We need to unlearn it. Huh?
Right. Yeah. It's almost like you have to rewire your brain. And the scriptures tell us the renewal of our mind, that we have to renew our mind. Who does God say that I am? What is the end of this story? Is Jesus really coming back again? You know, and so it is a renewal, and so that it changes your thinking, changes your believing, and then changes your behavior and your reality with it.
That passage that says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. There's a word there, schematic. And it's saying, Satan, this world, your flesh has a schematic plan and it's trying to fit you into the schema.
Yes.
But you have to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Yeah. And this is where only God can do that, his grace, but we have to apply ourselves to that way. I remember as a young boy growing up in the Catholic faith that I did not understand the need for faith. Because I would think, I'd say, if you're so great and you're God and you're whatever, you need nothing from me. And God doesn't need anything from me. But in order to, it's a relationship.
Yes.
And that God is kissing us, we have to kiss him back. God's saying, all this is here, but we have free will to choose this.
Yes.
And I didn't get that. And that's very dangerous not to understand that.
Yes.
And we see
that in Mary, huh? In her fiat, she got to choose that Gabriel came and asked Mary to say yes, yeah. huh? To say yes to this invitation. Because, you know, if the Lord loves us, then love has to involve free will. Huh? We have to be able to choose it. The Lord can't impose himself on us. So the Lord waits. Yeah. You know, we say that Advent is a period of waiting, that we're waiting. But, you know, maybe God's waiting on us. Maybe it's God waiting Definitely. On us, waiting for our fiat, mm-hmm. waiting for our let it be.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go into fiat. That's a big word, you know, for all of us, but for you in your teachings throughout this book. And you really brought me into another place of understanding that word fiat. I was seeing it one way. You helped me to see it another way. What am I talking about?
Yes. So it was a sort of maturation of my own understanding of Mary, because when I was younger, I sort of thought of Mary as a sort of docile girl who just sort of went along with whatever God asked for. You know, God came, okay, I'll do this. But that's not what's happening here. We have that wonderful word fiat, which means let it be. But a fiat, if you look it up in the dictionary, a fiat is a royal decree. And so when a king or a queen decrees something for the nation, they deliver yeah. a fiat. This is a proclamation from a royal person.
Wow.
And so when Mary gave her fiat, this is not this docile young
right.
girl. This is a queen who's saying, yes, let it be. Let it be done unto me as according to your will. And so the Lord is waiting in this Advent season. We're waiting, but the Lord is waiting through Gabriel for us to deliver our fiat. We need to say it. And we need to say it as boldly as Mary said it, as a fiat. Huh? Yes. Yes, Lord, let it be. Let it be done unto me according to your will. Let me bear you to the world as well.
Right.
That's really powerful. You say it's like an edict. It's like a decree. It's not to say that Mary knew everything that was happening here. She knew enough. And it wasn't just like, well, you know, okay. You know, it's like, no. You say the word's used only one other place. I don't know where it is. I don't want to put you on the spot with it. But
yes, it's used in one other place. Okay. When God says, let it be in yeah. Genesis
right.
chapter 1.
Now I know you wrote this book.
Yes, so let it be.
Let
the darkness come. Let the light come. Let the birds come. That's the only other time, as far as I know,
yeah.
that fiat is used. And so God, the Creator, is making this great proclamation. And here we have Mary, sort of, if you will, participating in a recreation of the world.
That's powerful.
Right.
That's
her
as she is, yes.
yes.
And she, and with all of that hope that she brings when she says yes. And we, as people of God, we don't need to have it, because then there's no faith involved. There's just a surrender. Lord, I choose by an act of my will to believe and to know that you're with me and you're going to be with me every step of the way.
Yeah.
I don't know how this is going to unfold,
yeah.
but Jesus, I love you more than anything. And
yes.
this is what it's going to be.
Yes.
And sometimes on the journey, you have to say that to heaven and to earth. And to under the earth, right?
Yes.
You have to declare that. You have to say it again and again. Sometimes you have to say it to your spouse,
yes.
right? You have to declare it. You have to, and to your church family.
Yes, of course.
You know, this is who I am. You know, because
yes.
sometimes we forget, and the world will reshape us and want to tell us who we are.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
What I like what you do though is that you're saying yes, as Mary said yes, not only to the unique things in your life, but to the fundamental thing that happened to her, that God was born in her of the Holy Spirit and of her yes, and that she carries him throughout the world, carries him to Elizabeth, carries him to and you're calling us to say, that needs to happen to you.
Precisely.
Are you going to be an evangelist? Are you going to bear witness to Jesus Christ? Because we could go and watch the Christmas movie. They could turn this into a book. And you say, oh, that was wonderful. She was just wonderful. And Mary's like, this isn't just for me. Gabriel's calling for another womb.
Yes.
Your spiritual womb. Yes. Will you let Jesus gestate in you? Will you take him other places? Will you let him come forth in a nativity before other people? Well, what are you calling me to do? Every Catholic is called to be a witness to Jesus Christ and to the gospel of life. You're sent by God to evangelize the world. What they do with it, it's their business.
Yes.
You can't convert anybody.
Yes.
But it is your business to carry Christ. Every Catholic carry Christ. That's where it gets touchy.
That's right.
Now you're asking me to do what she did, you know,
right.
Wow.
I think sometimes we want to just keep with the beautiful story from 2,000 years ago, because then we're safe, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We can just observe what happened 2,000 years ago. But I think the Lord is calling us to play the role of Mary now. Now it's our turn to bear Christ for the world. And yes, that what happened 2,000 years ago was completely unique. It'll never happen again.
Yes.
That was a unique moment in human history. And yet at the same time, the Lord wants to be born again and again and again in our world. Christ wants to come again in 2026. And if that's true, then you and I need to provide the womb.
Mm-hmm.
You and I need to say our fiat to Gabriel so that we can have Christ gestating inside of us so that he can be born for our world in 2026.
Well, you give so many good word pictures, so much in Scripture that you can see, connect with in a unique way. And it not only makes you appreciate what's going on and be awestruck, but it's a call to be holy as Mary's holy and to do it, to take the gospel. You got to take the next step in this. And you got to give your fiat, your edict to it, even though you don't know everything that's coming your way in terms of the joys and sorrows and pain.
Yes.
And being yoked to the Lord and Mary, because the reproaches that fall upon them will fall upon you, and so will the glory.
Yes.
So we're going to take a break at this point. And I want you to get your best stuff about this book. We're coming right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away. Finishing our conversation with Father Mark Thibodeau and his wonderful book, Hope and Light for Advent. So, Father, like I said before the break, I'm pitching it right back to you. Anything you want to share for our family?
I would love to share with you what I shared with my congregation this past Sunday for Gaudete Sunday. We talked about joyful anticipation and how joyful anticipation differs from happiness. Happiness is when I get sort of, let's say, giddy over some external thing. So if you give me my favorite bowl of ice cream, I'll be happy. How long is the happiness going to last? As long as the ice cream lasts, but no more, right? But joyful anticipation,
yes.
Christian joy,
yes.
Is something altogether different, because it's a disposition. It's a choice to live your life a certain way, regardless of what the externals say.
Yes.
And now, how can we have that disposition? I have this wonderful analogy, and I have to confess, I don't even know where I got this analogy, but here goes. Let's say you have an important game coming up. You know, I live a few blocks from the Tulane University Stadium, and Tulane's going to play Ole Miss this coming Saturday in a very important game. Let's say I can't watch the game, so I set my TV to record it. But before I get to watch it, I find out that Tulane did really terribly first, second, third quarter. Really terribly. They got trounced. Fourth quarter, they came back from behind, and in the last few seconds won the game. Now I press play, knowing all of this.
Yeah.
And I'm watching the first, second, and third quarter, and I see them get trounced. But I won't be miserable, will I? Because I know the end of the game. I know the way the way the game ends. And this is true for us Christians. We know the end of the game. We know the way that this game will end. And so we can have a tough first quarter, a tough second quarter. We can fumble the ball. We can throw an interception. But it's okay, because we know how the game ends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that joyful anticipation
yes.
comes. We know our Savior is going to win. We're going to have a victory. And so we can live with a great joyful anticipation, no matter what we're going through in the exterior in our first, second, and third quarters of the game.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Great, great word.
And it's true.
Yes. Father, close us with a prayer and with a blessing for our family.
Sure. Would you mind if I prayed the prayer from the book?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's great.
I'd love to do so. Jesus, God incarnate, I rejoice in anticipation of the abundant grace of your coming. May I search for your coming among the small, the weak, and the outcast. But may I search for your newborn presence within my own spiritual womb. I empty myself in order to create a space for you to be born within me. Like Mary, I say, Fiat, let it be, that I too may bear your presence to the world. May your coming as a vulnerable baby bring peace between the lion and the lamb, beginning within me. May your light dispel the darkness and hopelessness in the world's too. Fiat, may it be done. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Father. Welcome
to the wonderful
EWTN family. We want to see your face around here more frequently.
I'm delighted to be a guest, and I'd love to come back.
Thank you. Hope and Light for Advent, Guided Reflections, EWTNRC.com. What I have told you, that I'm going to prepare a place for you and not come back to take you to be with me, that where I am, you will be also. This is the good news of the season of Advent. The first coming, the second coming of the Lord. We don't walk on a tightrope, as Father was saying. The Lord's come to forgive us again and again, to pick us up when we fall down, and to spend all eternity with him. May this be the greatest Advent and Christmas season of your life. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone, and you're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.